This summer, the BC Life Saving Society says be prepared. Five people have died or vanished in local waterways in the past week alone. The search is still on for two of them, including a 22-year-old from Fort St. John who was swept away on Friday. Dale Miller of the Life Saving Society says a little planning can go a long way. He advises people to know the water they're getting into and be ready with all the safety equipment they'll need. He says be prepared to go into the water because most people who drown have no intention of getting wet. Sadly, that wasn't the case for 23-year-old Victoria woman who was killed on the Chilliwack River on Saturday. She was wearing all the proper gear and was even with trained professionals when her raft flipped over. She is the second to die on that river in just 4 days.
And the province's plan to cut gridlock on Highway 1 officially starts today. Road construction on two interchanges in Burnaby begins tonight and is the first step in the multi-million dollar gateway project. There will be single lane closures between Kensington and Gaglardy every night from 11 p.m. until 5 a.m. until the 28th of August. This work is part of the plan to widen the freeway and twin the Portman Bridge.
The opening weekend of the Pacific National Exhibition, or the PNE, was a huge success. Admission was free between the hours of 9 a.m. and noon, and crowds were lining up as early as 7 a.m. to get in free. This is the second year the fair has offered free admission, and they're talking about making it an annual tradition. PNE planners expect about 900,000 visitors this year, and if the opening weekend is anything to go by, they'll easily hit their target. Yesterday, one of the Superdog shows attracted 10,000 people. The upcoming Labor Day weekend is expected to draw about 30% of the turnout for the fair, so they're hoping the good weather will continue.
And according to Environment Canada, a severe storm is heading for BC's interior. An unstable and moist air mass is causing unseasonal weather in the interior, and area residents are being warned to brace for the expected storm. The area from Prince George in the North Okanagan in the north to Okanagan Valley in the south, the Chilcotin to the west, straight through to the Alberta border, is at risk today for heavy downpours, damaging winds, intense lightning, and large hail. Residents of this area are being advised to monitor weather conditions, listen for updated statements. If threatening weather approaches, take immediate safety precautions. It's time for a quick break, but stay tuned to CITR for more news following these public service announcements.
AMS Connect is a brand new service that offers a variety of ways for you to get connected to your campus, your city, and your world. We provide online listings of local volunteer opportunities and internship placements that allow you to gain valuable job experience and explore your passions outside of the classroom. The Connect office also facilitates volunteer placements abroad. Do stuff, get involved. For more information, call 604-822-9268 or you can go to their website at www.ams.ubc.ca/vex.
Hey, are you ready to head back to school in September?
For sure, but I'm worried that I won't be able to cover all my costs this year.
Have you ever done work study? I did it in the past, and it was a great experience and good money. You just need to be a Canadian citizen or a permanent resident.
And studying at UBC?
You got it. If you want to earn decent coin, pad your resume, and work on campus, work study is where the smart money's at. Just go online to Career Services and check out the listings.
That's solid advice. I'll definitely check out work study this year.
For more information on getting hired for a work-study job, visit www.students.ubc.ca/work-study.
Menstruation, the final frontier. This is the research of SEMCOR, its continuing mission to explore strange yet familiar body parts, to seek out new information unfamiliar to the medical profession, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Tired of frantically raising your shields with those unexpected periods? Fed up of not really understanding what's going on in the nether regions of your space? Come to the Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research and learn how to live long and prosper through all phases of your cycle. SEMCOR can give you the tools to chart your way through your cycle so it seems like a safe space rather than the outer reaches of the galaxy. Our prime directive is to educate women about their bodies so they can have peace and a long life. To that end, we're recruiting volunteers for a menstrual cycle and ovulation study involving a personal log and urine samples, all completed in the privacy of your own quarters. Participants must be between the ages of 20 and 40, have menstruated in the last 3 months, and not be taking any hormonal medications such as birth control pills. Resistance is futile. Set your coordinates to www.semcor.ubc.ca or call 604-875-5960. We are the Center for Menstrual Cycle and Ovulation Research.
GoGreenShuttles.com is running a direct shuttle service to the Burning Man Festival from Vancouver. Buses depart Vancouver on August 24th at 5 p.m. and travel through the night towards the desert. Our buses will be leaving the festival en route back to Vancouver on September 1st, also at 5 p.m. Pack all the gear you need. We're renting a trailer and stopping for groceries in Reno. Return travel is just $455 and available at GoGreenShuttles.com.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:06. With national news, here once again is Charlotte Nobles.
If you thought $5 for a cup of coffee was expensive, try paying $55 for a watermelon. Not a giant prize-winning melon, but a regular run-of-the-mill watermelon. Residents of a community in northern Labrador say they're angry at the cost of a watermelon at a local grocery store. The manager of the store says the melon was priced incorrectly. The actual retail price? Practically a steal at just $38. Apparently, the pricey produce has been the talk of the town. Both the federal and Newfoundland Labrador governments spend hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to subsidize the cost of transporting perishable items to Labrador's north coast. Just 2 weeks ago, the program was extended to include the summer season. Apparently, health foods like watermelon continue to cost more than most people in the Labrador town of Nain can afford. An Inuit spokesperson for the town is wondering where the money is going. At $55 for one watermelon is hardly affordable. An official in the Labrador Affairs Department says that price sounds high for a single watermelon, and he'll be contacting the store to find out why it was priced so high.
The Arctic seas are about to get a whole lot safer. Tomorrow, the Canadian military, including the Army, Navy, and Air Force, will begin rehearsals on how to react to an emergency on any of the vessels that frequent the North. Emergency situations such as hostage situations, fires, oil spills, and disease breakouts will be focused on, as these are deemed the types of marine disasters that could potentially happen with a sharp increase in naval activity in the North, according to Brigadier General David Miller, who is the commander of the Joint Task Force North. Miller stressed the need for these rehearsals and the preparation of the Canadian military because the increasing number of vessels present in the Arctic waters. In addition to private vessels, 26 commercial cruisers have been planned to pass through the Canadian Arctic this cruising season, a historic high for the area. This preparation of the military is expected to increase the military's ability to effectively respond to emergencies and to increase Canada's sovereignty in the Arctic. The rehearsals, known as Operation Nanook 08, will include 100 regular soldiers, 70 Canadian Rangers, two warships, Air Force surveillance planes, and a record number of civilian agencies such as the Canadian Security Intelligence Service and the Canadian Border Services Agency. The operation will be observed firsthand by Defense Minister Peter McKay and Chief of the Defense Staff Walter Natale. Dinizic. The Northwest Passage is expected to be ice-free this year for the second time in recorded history. With the increased traffic in the Arctic waters, a maritime disaster is predicted by military and civilian experts. There has already been an increase in the number of emergencies occurring over the past 2 years, such as cruise ships sinking. Operation Nanook is expected to run until August 26th and is just one of 18 major operations conducted by the Canadian military since 2002.
According to a foreign affairs official, an Ontario woman accused of drug trafficking has been sentenced to 25 years in a Pakistani prison. Deborah Kerr, a 36-year-old mother of three, was arrested in February at Islamabad International Airport. Police said they found 6 kilograms of heroin in a container next to her luggage. The sister of the accused says Kerr claims a man left a suitcase next to her as she waited for a flight home to Canada. A second accused party, and also a Canadian citizen, has been acquitted while Kerr remains behind bars. The identity of the acquitted Canadian has not been released. A spokesperson for Foreign Affairs says they are providing assistance and support to the woman and her case. The Canadian mother of three plans to appeal the court's decision with the help of the Canadian consulate in Pakistan and one of her friends here in Canada.
Concerned about the upkeep of a local heritage site, Canada may soon have a National Heritage Trust. The trust would offer incentives to developers to work with existing heritage sites instead of tearing them down to build new, low-maintenance buildings. Heritage buildings tend to have a higher maintenance cost associated with them, and it can be extremely inconvenient to restore a heritage building. Natalie Bull, executive director of the Heritage Canada Foundation, said that Canadian heritage buildings are endangered and pointed out the environmental problems associated with tearing down old buildings, as this makes up one-third of the garbage in Canadian landfills. Ms. Bull suggested using the United States National Heritage Trust as a model for creating Canada's program because of some important features, such as rehabilitation tax credits and the Heritage First policy. Presently, the responsibility of protecting heritage buildings is held by provincial and municipal governments. Victoria currently offers a 10-year tax exemption for heritage buildings that will be converted into housing, but according to Victoria's heritage planner, Steve Barber, the municipalities really are struggling on their own all across Canada. Vancouver previously had a program that offered developers a tax exemption and density bonus for saving heritage sites, but the program was cancelled in 2007. The federal government has proposed incorporating the old Canadian Commercial Heritage Properties Incentive Fund into the new program and have pledged $5 million as well.
According to documents recently obtained from Transport Canada, passengers sitting in an exit row could be sued for failing to respond correctly to an in-flight emergency. Transport Canada Cabin Safety Inspector Christopher Dan questioned the possibility of holding passengers liable for mistakes made during in-flight emergencies as a way to deter exit row passengers from ignoring important safety information. Upon reviewing the performance of exit row passengers in emergencies, the National Transportation Safety Board found worrying results. Passengers found it difficult to know when to open the exits. There were 2 cases of passengers opening exits when they should not have, and in one case, a passenger opened a rear exit when only the front exits were ordered to be opened. Passengers also appeared to find it difficult to assess the conditions outside of the plane. In one case, a plane began to fill with smoke because of faulty assessment, and 2 passengers were severely injured as they jumped through flames in order to exit the plane. It is unclear as to whether a passenger could even sue another passenger for failing to properly perform safety responsibilities in Canada, as a variety of factors, including the location of the emergency, make it difficult to determine what jurisdiction the case would fall under. However, University of Montreal law professor Stéphane Bolac says that by implicitly accepting the responsibilities associated with sitting in an exit row, the passenger may be liable if an emergency does occur. In theory, then, by acknowledging their responsibility while being given instructions by the crew, negligent exit row passengers could be held responsible and made to pay for damages.
And in international news, an Egyptian woman has given birth to septuplets in the coastal city of Alexandria. The director of the hospital where she gave birth says 27-year-old Ghazala Kamas is in good condition at the hospital after having a blood transfusion due to loss of blood during her cesarean section. Hospital director Imad Darwish says the newborns, four boys and three girls, weigh between 3 and 6 pounds. They're in stable condition with the help of incubators and medical teams in four different hospitals specializing in premature babies. As of today, the mother has yet to see her babies in person, but she says they look very cute on television. Including the new arrivals, Mrs. Kamish and her husband now have 10 children. It's time for another break, but when we come back, we'll hear some international news from Free Speech Radio News. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
GoGreenShuttles.com and the Pemberton Festival now have a direct shuttle service all weekend long from Vancouver right to the festival gates. GoGreenShuttles.com is your alternative to high fuel and parking costs, with return tickets just $70 when purchased before July 10th.
That's right, there are ways to go green without spending a lot of green.
Want to find out what going green really means? Want to find ways to save money and conserve resources like energy and water?
GoGreenShuttles.com. You do the partying, we'll get you there.
Are you looking to fulfill your passion for justice? Join us. The Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter is looking for women volunteers to help us run our 24-hour rape crisis line and transition house for battered women and their children. Training is 6 weeks long and free. Training starts now. Please call to book a training interview. Phone us at 604-872-8212.
Sealed with a Kiss and CITR 101.9 FM presents the Stanley Park Singing Exhibition, a two-day musical extravaganza with a focus on the art of song singing. Sunday, August 31st features Nico Case, Andrew Bird, Destroyer, Deerhoof, The Evaporators, while Monday, September the 1st features The New Pornographers, Black Mountain, Stevie Jackson of Bell and Sebastian, The 1900s, and Biscuit. Both shows are at the Malcolm Bowl in Stanley Park, doors at 3:30 p.m. Advanced tickets are on sale now at Zulu Records, Red Cat Records, High Life Records, and all Ticketmaster locations. Brought to you by Sealed with a Kiss and CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Are you a band or musician located in Vancouver or the Lower Mainland? We're now accepting entries for Shindig 2008. All styles are welcome, whether you're a solo country artist or a 10-piece punk band.
You'll need to send us a minimum 3-song demo of original material plus your contact information. Put everything in an envelope. Mail it or drop it off before August 8th to Shindig 2008, CITR Radio, number 233/6138, Sub Boulevard, Vancouver, BC, V6T1Z1, Canada.
We also love web-based submissions, such as ones via MySpace or electronic press kits. Please email shindig.08@gmail.com.
You know, as much as I hate to brag about Shindig, I must say tonight we got a Shindig for you that is so far in, it's out of sight.
Welcome back to News 101 in the Summer. I'm Marie Bernard, coming to you live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight. This week, our friends at Free Speech Radio News bring us a story about the water crisis in Somalia.
World Water Week began in Stockholm today, bringing together scientists, elected officials, and NGOs to tackle the growing global water crisis and develop water policy and management initiatives. This year, the conference is focusing on sanitation, health, and hygiene. More than 2.5 billion people lack adequate sanitation, affecting human and environmental health, according to the World Water Week website. And in many places, wastewater isn't being treated properly, leaving people with dirty water to drink and use for food crops. To examine the water crisis in detail, today FSRN takes you to Somalia, where water's been an issue since the central government collapsed with the fall of Siad Barre's government in 1991. In the long years since, pipes, reservoirs, and water treatment plants in south and central Somalia have been extensively vandalized. Mogadishu's residents have devised their own informal water distribution systems, but it may not be enough. FSRN's Abdurrahman Warsame reports.
The Bimalu neighborhood, one of the few remaining populated pockets in Holwadak district in the south of Mogadishu, is served by a well. All the public pipes have been looted, so the Bimalu well's owners have laid down its own pipes. Water is pumped from the well into huge elevated tanks, and gravity does the rest. Amina Mohammed's family of seven is one of the lucky ones in Bimalu who have a semblance of running water in their house. But she says the service is neither ideal nor regular.
The water runs between 8 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. The water is untreated and really unsafe to drink. Sometimes the pump breaks down and we have to revert to donkey water, which is even less hygienic.
The donkey water she refers to is water from the same well, but delivered to households by donkey carts mounted with a 200-liter barrel, just enough to sustain an average Bimalu family of 8 for a day or two. Doctors say chronic diarrhea outbreaks in Mogadishu are among the adverse effects of the untreated water used by the city's residents. Khalid Jamal is the manager of Bimalu Well.
This well serves nearly 137 households with piped water. Four donkey carts take water to the rest of the neighborhood and beyond. Some families still depend on collecting water from the well in jerry cans.
Most wells in Mogadishu are owned by local business people who provide water to surrounding neighborhoods for profit. The price of the water in Mogadishu varies from one area to another. The bigger the neighborhood, the cheaper the water. The price often ranges from 17,000 Somali shillings for a 200-liter barrel to as much as 30,000 Somali shillings, roughly $1 a barrel, far beyond the reach of most people. The price of water has more than doubled since the beginning of the year. Yusuf Ilmi remarks that water vendors explain the price increase in terms of the fuel price, but notice the price rarely goes down when the fuel becomes cheaper.
My family of 8 used to rely on water fetched in 20-liter jerry cans on the heads of my wife and our daughters. But we started using donkey water since we live so far from the well. Our worst problem is not the purity of the water, but the very high cost because of the rising fuel prices. I spend a third of the family's budget on water, but it's still not enough.
Elmi's family gets by on 200 liters a day for the entire family's needs, for drinking, cooking, washing, everything. But he adds that there are relatively few donkey carts that serve the entire neighborhood, which makes it difficult to get water regularly. Usually, families have one regular donkey that serves them water once a day or once every other day. Each of the donkey drivers, who mostly own their donkeys, has dozens of households he serves. Drivers say they do not earn much, as the difference between the money they pay for a barrel of water and how much they sell is very small. Elmi said that when his family runs out, like many others in Bimalu, they turn to their luckier neighbors with running water. Bimalu's small-scale water system is replicated all over Mogadishu. for Free Speech Radio News and Enterprise Service, this is Abdurrahman Warsame in Mogadishu.
And thanks again to Free Speech Radio News. Right now, the time is 5:24, and it's time for this week's weather forecast with Alice Wong.
The weather will be unsettled and much cooler this week. A low pressure system is bringing precipitation and instability to the southern BC coast. Light on and off showers are forecasted. There may be a chance of thunderstorms as the cooler air mass clashes with the remaining hot air. Tuesday, showers and some sunny breaks with a high of 20. Wednesday, expect more overcast skies and steadier showers with a high of 18. Thursday, scattered showers with a high of 20. Expect to see a clearing by Friday, just in time for the weekend. Friday will be partly cloudy and warming to 21 degrees as high pressure returns to stabilize the region. So for this week, remember to keep that umbrella handy, but make sure you hang on to it as it may be rather windy on Monday evening and Tuesday. Currently, it's 19 degrees and overcast at YVR. That's your weather this week, brought to you by the Storm Club of UBC. Contact us at stormubc@gmail.com for more information. For News 101, I'm Alice Huang.
Thank you, Alice, for that fabulous weather report. Alice is our new meteorologist, and that was her first time doing the weather for News 101, so thank you very much. That was fantastic. And that's our program for Monday, August 18th, 2008. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts, and if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email